produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Greetings once again, beloveds. This is Pearl Coupe, and we are on our weekly program, and I'm so blessed and privileged, as always, to be able to share the Word of God, because the Word of God is what gives us direction. It's a lamp unto our feet, and it orders our footsteps. So once again, what an honor to be able to share the Word of God with you, especially in these challenging times, times where we're facing COVID-19, and many of us are still in lockdown, and some of us are feeling pressure and a little bit frustrated. But at the same time, we need to always understand that God is still in control. He will always be in control. He has never lost control. And so let us continue to put our hope and our trust in the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above our every hope, our every imagination, our every expectation. So stay strong and stay strong in Him. In Him we live and move and have our being. We are rooted in Him and we are established in Him. So what a wonderful day it is. Let us be glad in it and rejoice in it. Today I want to talk to you about the power of the tongue. And, you know, it's very important that we understand, you know, the purpose, the reason for the tongue, because the tongue, you know, sometimes we don't really actually understand either the great damage it can do, or we don't understand, you know, the great power it has. So it is a really small member, shall we say, a small part of your body. It's not the biggest part of your body. When you look at your legs, when you look at your body, your torso, when you look at your head, when you look at your arm, all those are bigger parts of our body. But the fact that they're bigger doesn't mean that they're more influential or more important. The tongue is a very small part of our body. However, it has incredible, there's incredible fruit that we can reap through that tongue. And there's bad fruit and there's good fruit. So today I want us to talk about the tongue. I want us to talk about the power of the tongue. I want us to also discuss maybe some of the consequences of the tongue, because there are consequences that we will carry. And some of those consequences accrue to us when we don't take control of our tongue, when we are careless and reckless with our tongue. We can reap bad consequences from that. And also still, other people can reap bad consequences from the words that we ourselves have uttered. So I want us to talk today about the tongue, and we're going to kickstart our discussion and our talk and our sharing with a word from James 3. James 3 is a scripture there from verses 3 to 6, which talks about the tongue and gives us examples that we can actually look to and see what is God saying about our tongues. And the Bible reads as follows in James 3, verses 3 to 6. It says, "When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire. and is itself set on fire by hell. So this scripture is basically just, you know, explaining and saying exactly what I started off by sharing, to say that, you know, the tongue, we may sometimes undermine it and undermine its importance and undermine its relevance, because when you look at the tongue, it's not the biggest part of our bodies. However, it's got extreme power. It's got this extreme influence. And in this particular scripture, it's telling us the influence that it has. And it talks about how a fire can be started in a forest, a huge fire, but it's not started, you know, from a big perspective, from a big place. A huge fire can start with just a small, tiny spark. That's enough to set a whole great forest on fire. And the tongue is like that, that we can set a whole great forest on fire just with a small spark of gossip, a small spark of careless whisper, a small spark of careless talk, you know, a small spark of fake news. We can set a whole forest on fire. So it's important that we understand the great implications. To you and me, it may just be, oh, you know, in Nigeria, they use the word gist. They say, I'm just gisting. I'm just talking. It's just a chat. But we need to understand that that small chat, if we are spreading fake news, if we are spreading rumors that are not true, if we are spreading gossip, negative gossip about somebody else, that small gist, that small talk, that small little gisting can actually bring a and cause a whole great forest to catch on fire. So you may just think I'm just sharing a little small gist, but you may actually be consequently ruining somebody's life with a lie, with a rumor. You may be bringing condemnation upon a family, and those consequences may not just be for one person. Maybe you think you're gisting just about one person. Oh, I'm just gisting about this one person. But if that lie goes out, if that rumor gets spread out and it's spread out through the nation, that rumor, negative rumor, can carry negative consequences for that individual and their full household. Imagine you tell a lie or a rumor about somebody because you saw a woman walking out with some man, some lady, and you see her walking out with some man, and you come to the conclusion that they are having an affair somehow. And perhaps that woman was actually on a business meeting with that person, and you begin to spread a lie or a rumor that, oh, I saw this woman with this man. I saw this woman, and it becomes this huge spark, this huge flame, whereby now people deduct and deduce that that woman is having an affair with that man that you saw her with. And all of a sudden, the whole town, the whole nation is talking about this woman who's having an affair, and it's not true. Imagine the damage that it can do to that woman. She has a business, you know, and that business could be impacted. People may no longer, you know, go to her business. People may no longer want to be involved in her business, especially if that woman is a Christian woman. They'll say she's fake. Imagine the harm that it would cause to her family. If she's a married woman, cause to her husband, the heartache for her husband. What about her children if she has children? So I just want to give you an example of how a small gist, you may think it's an innocent gist, a small talk can actually erupt into a huge forest now catching fire. So we really need to be careful of what we say. We really need to meditate. We really need to think before we speak, before we make wrong deductions, before we make wrong assumptions, because those wrong assumptions and deductions, if we voice them, if we articulate them, they can have the result and the consequence of ruining somebody's life, of ruining a whole family's life. So, beloveds, I pray that we will be very, 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 you know, thoughtful and think before we just carelessly repeat stuff. You may say, oh, it's not me that started it. Oh, it's not me that started it. I also heard it from somebody. Well, before, it may not be you who started it, but before you pass it on, think before you pass it on, and think about, how is this edifying anybody? And think about, is this news really true? What evidence do I have to say that this is really true? Is it possible that it could be fake news? And think about it. Think about the consequences. Also, think about the aspect of you. What if it was you? How would would you feel if somebody was spreading that information about you and that information was false in particular? That's something that I usually ask myself. Before I talk about something, I ask, how is it blessing? How is it edifying? The Bible, you know, encourages us to think on those things that are pure, that are of good report, that are honest, all of those things. So when we think about those things, it's not easy to assimilate and to receive negative news and also spread those negative news. So let's be careful, beloveds. Then let's remember that our tongue is that great forest. It can set, is that fire, is that small spark that can set a whole great forest on fire. And the same scripture tells us about, it gives us an example of a horse. And you know, those of us who've ridden horses will know and understand. I used to ride horses as a young girl. I haven't ridden horses for a long time. But you will know that when you ride a horse, you will normally, there's certain equipment and things that you put on the horse to make sure that it's easier for you to ride the horse. You will normally put a saddle on the horse, and the saddle on the horse is for you to sit more comfortably on the horse and help you guide the horse. And then not only a saddle, but you will put a bridle and reins, and there's something that goes into the horse's mouth. And in that bit is connected, the reins are connected to that bit, so that now you as the rider of the horse will hold the reins, and that bit which is in the mouth of the horse, now when you hold the reins, it enables you to direct the horse, to control the horse. So when you pull the reins with your right hand, it will turn the horse's head. It will turn the horse's head towards the right, so that it now moves in the direction of the right. And when you begin to pull the reins with your left hand, it will also consequently pull the horse's head towards the left, so that the horse now moves in the direction of the left. So the Bible is telling us that now through this bit that is in the horse's mouth, it now determines the direction of the horse. It now controls the horse. And the Bible is saying, also gives us the example of a ship, and tells us that the ship is very large, but ultimately one of the things that steers it is not just the steering wheel, but there's a rudder that many of us may not even see that rudder. It's that small, and usually it's hidden. We're in a place where you can't see it. It's very small. It's semi-hidden, but that is the thing which steers the ship. And so the Bible is really telling us that, you know, the bit is very small. It's hidden. You can't really see it in the horse's mouth. And the rudder is also hidden. It's very small. And the tongue, to a certain extent and degree, is also hidden in our mouths. You don't always see it unless, you know, somebody opens their mouth very wide. You can't see the tongue, really. So it's something that's very small, also hidden. But it's got great power, and it's got great power to influence. It's got great power to steer something in a certain direction. It's got great influence, and it can actually, if we are not controlled, we do not control our tongues, it has the power and ability to set a whole forest on fire. And so, beloveds, this scripture is really reminding us, it's very important, it's reminding us of the power of the tongue. And still, while we're talking about the power of the tongue, let's talk also about Proverbs 18 verses 21. Proverbs 18 verses 21, very powerful scripture, which tells us that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So it's not just about gisting. It's not just about casual talk. It's not just about any talk, but you know, we need to come to the place where we understand that there is power, and that not just ordinary power, but power of life and power of death in our tongue. That is what our tongue carries. You know, we have the power of God in us. We have Holy Spirit in us. So we have the dunamis power of God. So when you and I speak as people who are in relationship with God, when we talk, it's not an ordinary talk. It is backed up by the dunamis power of Holy Spirit in us. And so we must be very, very careful that our tongues are controlled, and that we understand this, especially in this prophetic season of the pay. You know, if you look at the Hebraic or the Hebrew calendar, 5780 is the year in which we are in. And when you begin to decode the prophetic significance of this decade from the 80 decade, we are in a decade whereby it is the decade of the mouth, meaning what we say, what we release through our mouth is of very, very great importance. There is it's a prophetic season that we're in, that whatever we release from our mouth, whatever comes out using our tongues carries great, great significance. So prophetically, in this decade, we are in that season of pay, P-E-Y, where whatever we release carries great importance and great significance. So may Father, Abba Father, help us to meditate on the words of our mouth. Help us to make sure that our speech is salty. Help us to make sure that our words and speech are gracious, are healing words, are edifying words, are encouraging words, are words that are aligning others to the kingdom principles and kingdom agenda, are not just words that are hurtful and wounding and causing pain. May God just bring us to that place where we become thoughtful and meditative of the words that we are about to say, and that we speak that which is healing, that which is life, that God will cause us to release life, life, because Jesus came that we might have life, according to John 10:10, and that we might have it in more abundance. And so may we release those words that will cause us to align and to move into that life which God intended us to have and to enjoy, a life of abundance and more, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Hallelujah. So death and life are in the power of the tongue. Let us not minimize what we say, and let us be very, very meditative of what we say. And again, still talking on the power of the tongue. Ha! Matthew 18:18 says this. It says, "Verily I say unto you, whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Ha! Beloveds, this is very powerful. God is telling us again and reminding us of the power of our tongues, that it is so powerful that we have the capacity and ability to bind things on earth and in heaven, and to loose things on earth and in heaven. It's very important, therefore, that we don't use our tongues casually, and we don't use our tongues in any reckless form or fashion. It's very important, even more important, that we make sure that what we bind on earth and in heaven, and what we loose on earth and heaven, that it is aligned to the will of God, that we don't just carelessly bind and carelessly loose. That means we need to prayerfully go to God and ask him, "What is your will? What is your will?" When the disciples asked Jesus how should we pray, Jesus' response was to give them the Lord's Prayer. And in giving them the Lord's Prayer, one of the very powerful principles he articulated in the Lord's Prayer was to say, "Pray, thy will be done." So we need to pray and ask God, "What is your will? What is your will?" So that now when we speak, when our tongues are speaking forth, we know that as we speak forth, as we begin to bind, as we begin to loose, we know that because we've prayed and asked God his will, we know that whatever we're binding is being bound according to, in alignment with the will of God. Whatever we loose is being loosed in accordance to the will of God. It's very important that we seek God's will so that we don't just bind carelessly and loose carelessly. If you do that, it is possible for you and I to be binding things that God wants loosed, and to be loosing things that God has ordained to be bound. And so let us be very careful as we use our mouths in prayer, as we use our mouths prophetically to make declarations. Let us be very careful in that aspect. Again, I still want to talk on the aspect of the power of the tongue. And God says in Job 38:12, you know, God's been having this conversation with Job, and Job is going through these trials. He's going through these challenges. He's going through these tribulations, and his friends are advising him. His friends are actually, you know, beginning to tell him all sorts of things and beginning to advise him, not in a good way. Even his wife is advising him in a way which is not really aligned with scripture. And God now begins to speak to Job. God begins to tell Job that, listen, Job, have you considered, are there things that you've considered? And he begins to encourage him. And in the course of encouraging him, God now says to Job, listen, Job, have you commanded the morning? I'm talking now from Job 38:12. And he says to Job, have you commanded the morning since your days began and caused the dawn to know its place? So by this scripture, God is now reminding Job to say that, oh, Job, have you understood the power that is in your tongue? You have a great power to even command creation, you know, to even talk to creation. In Romans 8:19, you know, there's a scripture that talks about all of creation is groaning, is waiting in earnest expectation, waiting for the sons of God to make themselves manifest. Because, beloveds, we have situations where witches, sangomas out there, are busy commanding creation, are busy telling creation what to do, are busy doing, you know, demonic things. Sons from the kingdom of darkness are doing that. And yet God had ordained for you and I to use the power of our tongue, to use it effectively so that you and I can now begin to command the environment, to begin to command the atmosphere and to change the atmosphere. That is the DNA that is in us, and that is the power that God has given us in our tongue, to speak life, to command the morning. Have you considered that when you wake up in the morning, you and I should not be talking about what a terrible day it is or what a frustrating day it is, but you and I should wake up understanding the DNA that is in us, the power that is in us, to command the morning and to decree to the morning and to declare, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will be glad in it and rejoice in it. You and I are not supposed to receive the reports, the news reports, the media reports of negativity, of how this day is going to be a terrible day, but you and I, upon waking up, must use that power that God has given us to decree life, to decree life to our family, to decree life to the households, to decree life to our nations and our communities, because God has given us that power. There's power in your tongue. To name your situation, God gave Adam the power and the grace and the ability to name the animals. He said, Adam, you name the animals, and whatever you call them, so shall it be. So the power of life and death in our tongue is given to us so that we name our situations. Don't start talking about your situation as a bad situation, as a negative. Oh, I'm in a bad situation. I'm in a critical situation. I'm in a terrible situation. I'm in poverty. I'm in a hungry situation. You begin to decree and name your situation, because your tongue has power, and it's power of life, power of death, power to produce, power to create. The same Ruach HaKodesh, Holy Spirit, that God, you know, used, the Holy Spirit that created something, created the world, hovered over the world, hovered over emptiness, hovered over nothing, hovered over darkness. And Holy Spirit, Ruach, by his Ruach HaKodesh, breath of God, which is Holy Spirit, created something out of nothing. That is the power that we have. The power of life and the power of death, hallelujah, is in our tongue. We need to be reminded of that, beloveds, that we can command the morning, that we can cause the dawn to know its place. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we and the second thing I want to remind us also is how we use our tongue. Be careful of our tongue. God has given us that tongue for a reason. And in James 3, verses 9 to 12, it says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. So this scripture is reminding us that, you know, again, of the power of the tongue. And many times you and I will go to services, you know, in the lockdown. During the lockdown, it's been hard to have services, to go to the normal Sunday services that we go to. But I want to encourage you, you can have a service in your own home. The church is not a building. The church is not 5,000 people. The church, God says, where two or three are gathered, there I will be in their midst. So if there's at least two of you and God is in your midst, you are the church. You are the church. And so, you know, we can be in a service worshiping God, praising God, and we love to sing our praise songs and, you know, and sing, you know, about how he's our way maker, miracle worker, our promise keeper, and our light in the darkness, and worship him and sing in praise, and we'll have all that time of worship wherever we are. Do you know, beloved, it's possible. Many of us sometimes can come out of that wonderful time of worshiping God, praising him, giving him all the glory, lifting up his name, exalting his name, and barely 2 hours after worshiping God, you can be driving your car and somebody, you know, comes in front of you, and all of a sudden you're swearing, insulting that person. Road rage comes upon you and you're exchanging, you know, insults with that person. And, you know, and that's what this Bible, the Word of God is saying. Out of the same mouth, how can we indulge in using the same mouth that we just used to praise God to now be cursing people, to now be cursing especially people who have been made in God's likeness, people who have been made in God's image? Let's be careful of what we use our tongues for, what we use our mouths for. Let's not go around insulting people. My goodness, sometimes I get so discouraged when I open Facebook. I use Facebook as a medium and as a tool of encouraging people. For me, it's an evangelistic tool to preach the gospel. And, you know, I'm blessed to have quite a few people on there. I think I've got a Facebook page and I've got a Facebook account. And on between the two, I'm blessed to have, you know, around 35,000 people that I can speak to and encourage and share the word of God. And so let us be encouraged to not pour out fresh and salt water, you know, to not just pour out, you know, words that are discouraging, negative words. Let's purpose to use our word, to speak life, to use our tongues, rather, to use our mouths, to speak life, to speak encouragement. I was so encouraged by a wonderful WhatsApp message I received from one of my friends yesterday. And she was encouraging me so wonderfully and just saying, just greeting me, you know, a good friend of mine who works with the Global Leadership Summit, Pastor Janice Couchman. And she was saying, my friend, I'm blessed to see your words. You're always prophesying and encouraging and speaking life, and continue to do that. And in the process, she encouraged me. I thought, wow, this is amazing. I'm encouraged to do more. So let's encourage one another to do more, beloveds. Let's encourage each other just to be continuing to provoke one another to good works. Continue to understand that the tongue, although a small member, it has the capacity to do great harm, great damage. Let's not damage one another. Let's not wound each other by careless talk. Let's not wound each other, you know, with small, small talk. And you know, two of us just skinnering. In South Africa, we use the word skinnering. It means to gossip. Let's not just be careless with our tongue and talking bad about people. But let's get together to provoke one another with good words, understanding that our tongue carries the power of life and death. Be encouraged in this week. Next week, I'm going to continue with part two on the message of the power of the tongue. And I'm going to talk about the consequences of our talk. If we abuse the tongue, the consequences for us and the consequences for others. So do tune in next week to hear part two on the power of the tongue. I love you with the love of the Lord. Be blessed. Amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Hello, SKM, Shimikotu Ministries International Radio Network. This is the voice of Apostle Josh Moyo, bringing you once again our weekly broadcast, Voice of Destiny Empowered for Your Destiny. This morning I want to discuss with you on the authority that we find in the Word of God. Why study the Word of God? For this undertaking, let us take ourselves through in some very important aspects that I believe are very important into our lives as we walk with God together. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 and 20, Peter is addressing the people of his time. They were now under pressure, intense persecution, because the world around them was being ruled by the emperors of the time, who were known of their brutality and their cruelty over God's people. Peter writes, therefore, assuring them that the integrity of the Word of God was not given to us by private interpretation, but that we had received a sure word of prophecy, wherewith we did well if we received that word. For holy men of God spoke and wrote it down, inspired by the Holy Spirit. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's gear up ourselves right now as we get into it, because Jesus is the subject matter of the Bible. Written by 40 men, different geographical locations, different historical background, different cultural and political position. Peter was a fisherman. Daniel was a prime minister. Amos was a shepherd. Nehemiah was a cupbearer. Right through the scriptures, these men were inspired by the Holy Spirit to write down that which God had inspired them to write. Written over a period of 1,500 years, the coherence of the scripture, it's amazing. It is important for us to note that, ladies and gentlemen, there is no book like the Bible. I, in fact, picked up a book one time that was stating all these great works by great men of God, by great men in history. People like Shakespeare, people like Socrates, people like Aristotle, these Greek philosophers that had left a great impact in our world. And as I was reading that, paging through the book, I found out the whole chapter inserted the book of Proverbs and the book of Ecclesiastes. What does that say? Wisdom is not wisdom apart from the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, in a time where people are trying and governments are trying to redefine life, you and I need to understand that we are responsible as stewards of this gospel of the kingdom to stand unashamed as we hold the authority of the Word of God. Apostle Paul in the book of Romans, chapter 1, he declares, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for the gospel is the power of God to our salvation." I want to encourage everyone, therefore, in this day and age, that the foundation of truth our measuring line, the criterion of truth, can only be found in the authority of the scriptures. Ladies and gentlemen, why the word of God? Because the word of God is a sure standard. It is the only thing that God has given us by which we can judge and measure truth from lies. That's why you'll find it in the hotels, you'll find it in the courtrooms. This is the word of God. Now, why the word of God? I'll give you 7 reasons why you and I need the word of God. Number one, the word of God is a revelation. What that means is it is geared to reveals the origin of men, reveals the origins of the worlds, reveals the origin of everything we see and what we do not see. If you wanted to know anything and everything about the origins of mankind, it is in the word of God. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God. There you are. If you want to know everything about the Elohistic nature of the Creator, it's in the Bible. Genesis 1 and verse 1. It reveals. But number 2, the word of God refutes. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, for the word of God is inspired by God, good for doctrine, correction, for rebuking, inspiration, and for reproof. Anything that you want to understand about the word of God, it is its own standard. It refutes against the philosophies of mankind. Many good things have been written by great philosophers and great historians. They have come and they have gone. But the word of God has stood the test of times. First book that was to be read on the moon. You'll find it anywhere and everywhere. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you the word of God, the book of books. It is said of all the printing presses around the world, it is the only book that has got the largest printing press. And the largest printing press being found in China, which is at the present moment a communist country. But the Bible is the most printed book. This is the word of God. 66 books, 39 books of the Old Testament, 27 of the New Testament, written primarily in 3 languages, in Hebrew, in Greek, and in Aramaic. This is the word of God. It reveals, number one. Number two, it refutes. But number three, it reproduces. The word of God knows how to reproduce. Luke chapter 8 and verse 14, the Bible tells us by the mouth of Luke that it is like a seed planted on different ground. But the Bible says you are guaranteed that when you plant it, it will surely reproduce. Whatever you are believing God for your family, for your hopes, for your dreams, for your spouse, for your marriage, you are assured of one thing. My words will come to pass. The words of your friends will expire and change, but the word of God is its own standard. The word of God is like a seed. It will reproduce. From where it started in Jerusalem with a few disciples, it spread to Judea, spread to Samaria, spread all over the world. Today, the word of God has got millions and millions and millions of Christians that have been converted because of the authority of the word of God. Because the word of God is a seed to us. It reveals, it refutes, it reproduces. But number four, the word of God redirects life. Isaiah 54, the Bible declares, "For we all were like sheep astray. But oh, the authority and the power of the word of God found us. Found us whilst we were all separated from him. Found us whilst we were all going in a different direction. Found us and it brought us life." The word of God redirects. But ladies and gentlemen, the word of God revives. That's number six. The word of God is a revival. It brings transformation. It brings true change in our hearts. Finding yourself in a place where you do not know, you feel surrounded with dead dreams, dead hopes, dead things all around you. The word of God surely is a source of life for you and I. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the word of God. So we find out now, number one, it reveals. Number two, it refutes. Number three, it reproduces. Number four, it redirects. Number five, it revives. But number six, we also find out that the power and the authority of the word of God, it rebuilds lives. Broken hopes, broken dreams, it can rebuild you again. Children of Israel, after they found themselves in bondage in Babylon, coming under Ezra, coming under Nehemiah, they came back and they found that the walls of Jerusalem that had been burnt by fire, the gates had been destroyed by the enemies. But the process of rebuilding was done by the word of God. They rebuilt the word of God in 52 days. Ladies and gentlemen, the word of God rebuilds what has been broken. What is it in your life that has been broken by the enemy, broken by society, broken by people? God promises by the authority of his word to rebuild that which has been broken. The word of God rebuilds. Number seven, the last point. The word of God gets us ready. Important for us to understand that we are living our lives, but we are living our lives knowing very well that one day, the one who called us to himself, who saved us, by whom we are born again, has brought us to a place where we are always ready to go with him to where he wants us to be. The word of God make us ready to go and meet up our Savior. These are seven components seven things that we find through the authority of the Word of God. I pray for you, therefore, that as we continue to grow in Him, may we find ourselves ready, empowered by the Word of God. You see, there are four weapons that I believe every believer needs in these times. As we are faced up with COVID-19, our lives are in jeopardy. Many have lost their jobs. Many have lost their homes. Many have lost the sense of their businesses. And you wonder, how do you build again? I want to offer to you the power and authority of the Word of God. You can rise up and build again. For the Word of God is alive. Power to rebuild that which has been broken in your life. The Bible is a sure standard for your life and my life. Whatever you are encountering, whatever you are facing, I want you to understand that the Word of God can build you again. You can rebuild your hopes. You can rebuild your dreams. Everything that you have desired to see over your life, take the authority of the Word of God and build once again. Jesus Christ will bless your life. Four powerful tools that we use to build our lives. Number one is the name of Jesus. The name that has been given to you and I by which we can be saved. Jesus Christ is the signature. Jesus Christ, He is the authority behind that which you pray. So when we pray and we end our prayers in the name of Jesus, we are not just saying the name of Jesus because it's a sweet little thing to say. We are not just saying the name of Jesus because it's a cool thing, it's a cliche, a rhetoric that is being practiced for religious, by religious leaders or religious people to say in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus Christ is our signature by which you and I can find answers to that which you believe God for. Number two, we use the blood of Jesus because the blood of Jesus Christ is His own authority. Leviticus chapter 17, the Bible says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood." Ladies and gentlemen, the power and the authority of our lives is authenticated by understanding that it is the blood of Jesus Christ that sets us free. As we move in power and in authority, let us always remember that the authority and our power, we find it in the blood of Jesus Christ. When life throws its curveballs, when we don't seem to be finding a sense of direction around us, the power is in the blood of Jesus Christ. Daily as we live our lives, remember the power of the name of Jesus Christ. What's in a name? We say Michael Jordan. You think of basketball. What's in a name? You think of Tiger Woods. You think of golfing. What's in a name? Jackie Chan. You think of a movie. Ladies and gentlemen, the authority that we require, we find it in the precious blood of Jesus. I want to encourage you today that as we live our lives day by day, remember that the authority we need is in the name, is in the blood, but also it's in our praise. When we praise Him, we give him an opportunity to work more in our lives. When we praise him, we give him an opportunity for him to work wonders on our behalf. When we praise him, sometimes we live in a world where Christians are full of complaining. But you and I, when we learn to praise his name, we are giving ourselves an opportunity to see him work wonders in our lives. I want to encourage you today in your daily life, remember to praise his holy name. Because when we praise him, we give him an opportunity to work on our behalf. Life can be cumbersome. The world around us can be tedious. But when you understand the power and the authority of praising and worshiping him, he is a good God indeed. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, once again on our studio. I've given to us the seven things why we need the word of God in our lives. It reveals, it refutes, it reproduces, it redirects, it revives, it rebuilds, and it gets us ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you. Apostle Josh Moyo here on our SKM radio studio with our sister Kayla Paget as we bring you weekly the authority that we find in the Word of God. Have a fantastic day. See you again next week. Father God, I want to pray for your people. Pray that you bless them as you continue in these days where others are we are still under lockdown, strict measures. The measures are being loosened for a while. So, Lord, I pray that, God, you have made others to survive through this virus. Others have gone home to be with the Lord. Others can't bear the burdens of unemployment. Lord, I pray that you continue to stand by them. Let Christ continue to elevate them and keep them. Surprise us in these days, Lord God Almighty, as we believe in you, that Jesus continue to rise up on our behalf and we'll see the mighty move of God like never before in our world. Because we believe that your word has declared, men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. I thank you and I honor you right now and I glorify your name, Jehovah God, for that which you are doing even in our lives. May you continue to be lifted up and be glorified. We honor you and we love you because you are a faithful God. As we trust in you, we trust that Jesus Christ, you shall be exalted in whatever we do, now and forevermore. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. God bless you.